Some of you are going to find this a bit incredulous, but here's something that federal, state, and local governments all tell us to do that we should actually listen to. Eat more fruits and vegetables. You've heard about the health benefits of increasing plant-based nutrients into your diet, but how can you easily consume all the fruits and veggies needed? Well, it's easy. By adding grown American superfood and essential vitamins plus immunity into your meals. Grown American superfood and essential vitamins plus immunity is a power blend that has 31 fruits and vegetables in every scoop. Organic vegetables, super greens, super fruits, and super sprouts. It is fortified with essential vitamins plus an immunity boost. And right now, you can get a free 2-week supply of grown American superfood and essential vitamins plus immunity by just paying $8.95 for the shipping and handling. And not only that, you'll also get a free frother to quickly whip up your healthy and nutritious Grown American drink. Go to grownamericansuperfood.com/John and order today.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
This is the John Fugelsang Podcast.
This is SiriusXM Progress. Welcome to it. Fugelsang here. So glad to be with you. Hello to our daywalkers, everybody listening on demand, on the app, on the podcast. Nothing but love for you. Please send us your letters and your tweets and your emails. We'll read them. You guys are allowed to call live anytime. If you're at home some night, nothing to do. 866-997-4748. That's what our Evil Army of the Night does live every night. We would love to hear from you guys. It was quite an eventful day, and we have a lot to get to, including some business. The Sexy Liberal Tour is back. We are playing Philly in 2 weeks, Saturday the 27th. It's going to be a good one. We'll be joined by Glenn Kirshner, JoJo from Jers, and Lindy Lee will be our special guest for this one, a legal superstar and a couple of social media influencer superstars, along with Stephanie Miller, Hal Sparks, Frangela, and me. We kicked the whole tour off last weekend in Minneapolis. It was a blast. I would love to see you there. In fact, that would make it complete for me. So go to livenation.com or sexyliberal.com, and we'll hook you up in that regard. So much to get to on day three of his New York City trial. Trump complained he's not allowed infinite chances to dismiss jurors when he feels like it. In Pittsburgh, Joe Biden told supporters he's going to do all it takes to bolster the American steel industry, including substantially increasing tariffs on steel coming from China. Okay. For the second time, Arizona's Republican-controlled House voted down an attempt to repeal the 1864-era abortion law codified by the state Supreme Court last week. I just found out the dude who wrote that law had four wives and two of them were 15. Isn't that great? Yeah, that's who's calling the shots now in the beautiful state of Arizona. That's how bad they want to move Arizona from purple to blue. More than 50,000 Russian troops have died since Ukraine was invaded 26 months ago. I'll say that again. This is from the BBC. More than 50,000 Russian troops have died. If an American president invaded a smaller country that had never attacked us, and 2 years later, 50,000 American troops had lost their lives. Again, you know how many we lost in Iraq? Just in Iraq was 4,486, and many more when they came home due to illness and injury and depression and suicide. 50,000. How does Putin still have his job? A record rain bomb just dumped more than 2 years' worth of rain on Dubai. Have you seen this? In 24 hours, they got almost an entire 2 years' worth of rain. Special elections in Michigan handed full control of the state house back to Democrats, leaving it only the pressure to keep it come November. And in new documents, it looks like in the court, New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez is going to take the most honorable way out from his bribery charges by blaming his wife. Can't wait to see it. Oh, boy. Isn't it great that Democrats will hang their own to dry? I appreciate that. Democrats eject them. The others, reelect him. And health officials are asking people in Michigan to avoid consuming raw milk amid the continued spread of H5N1 avian flu among the dairy cattle populations. Also, my favorite story of the day, perhaps, Donald Trump's campaign has found a new way to fleece anybody for more cash. I know they're selling Bibles and they're selling cologne, they're selling perfume, they're selling hideous gauche golden sneakers. I know they're selling these softcore gay porn NFT cards, and they are looting the RNC. I mean, what more can they do to get non-millionaires to give a billionaire money to pay for his crimes? Well, they found a way. In a letter received by Republican digital vendors this week. Are you ready for this? This is the most mafioso thing I've ever seen Trump do. The campaign is asking for all down ballot candidates who use Trump's name or image or likeness in any fundraising emails to give at least 5% of the proceeds to the Trump campaign. So if you send out a picture as a Senate candidate, House candidate of Donald Trump, you with Donald Trump from a fundraiser, you use his picture. Don wants at least 5% of the money you make. As Tony Soprano said, what about me getting a taste? Tonight on the show, Bob Seska's with us later on in this hour, and Dr. Tracy Pearson in hour number three. It's going to be a fun one. Let's do a show. I guess the biggest story today are about what the House didn't do and what the Senate didn't do. It was a very busy day in not doing things today, and a lot got done in the name of not doing things. Today, the Senate opened the impeachment trial of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas over his handling of the U.S. and Mexico border, and they swore in all the senators and jurors, and Democrats pretty much made the trial end before arguments even began. Here's what you need to know. What you need to know about what happened today with the impeachment of the Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas is Donald Trump ordered his underlings and supplicants and Renfield blood slaves to kill the border bill so Joe Biden wouldn't get credit for fixing shit. That bill, as we have discussed, would have dramatically cut the asylum process time from like 5 years waiting in the country for your hearing down to a few weeks. And if you weren't qualified, you'd be deported right away instead of hanging out in the country for 5 years. So Republicans are responsible for that. And so Donald Trump decided to order the House MAGAs to impeach Mayorkas for not doing the things the border bill the Republicans killed would have addressed. So, not surprisingly, the effort to impeach Secretary Mayorkas has failed. It was a complete waste of time because Mayorkas committed no crime. He committed no misdemeanor. This was doomed before it began. This happened because their Hunter Biden expose blew up. Their star witness was proven to be a liar feeding them Russian disinformation. This happened because their impeach Joe Biden hearings blew up. So what are they going to do? They got to impeach somebody, right? I mean, what else is there? Do shit to help your constituents back home? No way. Doing shit to help the folks back home, that involves working with Democrats. If you do that, some of the folks back home might replace you with somebody more ignorant and racist than you. So no, it's all got to be bad theater. They did not win over a single Democrat. They lost a few of the House members, and they never offered any clear evidence that Secretary Mayorkas and his struggle with these migrants at the southern border qualified as a high crime or a misdemeanor. This is the first time that a cabinet secretary has had an impeachment trial in almost 150 years. Here's the deal. They never thought they could remove him. They knew they could never remove him. They knew the Democratic Senate would not remove him. They didn't even bother to have a high crime or misdemeanor. They pushed a bullshit charge, knowing 100% the Democratic Senate would put the kibosh on it, so they could play their little outrage game for one more news cycle and accuse Democrats of not doing anything about our open border. Blah, 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 blah. That's it. That's why it happened. And I'll remind you, in my lifetime, only one president has called for an open border, and it was Ronald Reagan. And he called for the border to be open both ways. So this afternoon, the Senate voted down party lines to dismiss the two articles of impeachment against Mayorkas, not even having a trial. Just more or less, I call this a bitch please vote. Here, Senator Patty Murray and Chuck Schumer put an end to the Mayorkas facade, announcing the failure of the second and final article and adjourning the session.
On this vote, the yeas are 51, the nays are 49. The point of order is well taken. Article 2 falls.
Madam President.
Majority leaders recognize.
I move to adjourn the impeachment trial of Alejandro N. Mayorkas, sine die, and I ask for the yeas and nays.
Is there a sufficient second?
There is.
There is a sufficient second. Clerk will call the roll.
This whole thing was an abuse of the impeachment process. Impeachment is, it's a tool that James Madison and the framers of the Constitution cooked up to protect our country from tyrants. Instead, they abused it to punish somebody for a policy dispute. This has been going on ever since the Republicans got the majority in the House. And it was about 2 months ago, right, February, almost three of them voted to impeach him. Republicans have said that Mayorkas has been doing a terrible job in his duty to secure the border. And they're bringing up this law from 2006 when Bush was president that requires the Homeland Security Secretary to maintain what's called operational control over the border. And the House Homeland Security Committee last year had a report, and Republicans argued that Mayorkas failed to enforce laws passed by Congress to fulfill his oath of office. In other words, because he's been trying to handle the influx of migrants at the border, and Republicans killed their own bill to help, he's failing to follow the law maintaining operational control over the border. You understand? I don't either. They had two public impeachment hearings this year without Mayorkas being there in person for testimony, without any fact witnesses. And they never explained why impeaching this man would somehow help. It was all punitive. It was all to shame the Biden administration and give them something to go on Fox News for one news cycle and brag like they had done shit. The same month they voted to impeach this man, they walked away from the bipartisan deal to address the border. Here's Senator Roger Marshall, Republican from Kansas. He didn't like this one bit. He said if the Senate won't take up their show trial, they should just stop working and adjourn for 7 months until after Election Day.
Before this body disrespects the Constitution any further, before we endanger our republic any more, before we harm the reputation of this body any more, I move to adjourn until 7 a.m. on November 6th, 2024, so the American people can at least have a vote on this impeachment trial.
Now, what's worse? If Senator Roger Marshall really is that much of a dope, or if he just pretends to be that much of a dope because he thinks that's what the folks back home want to hear and he has contempt for his own audience. They've already declared this is catastrophe. They've already decided, oh, this can wait till 2025 to even address it. Guys, this was nothing but politics as performance. They were not having an impeachment. They were getting up on stage. Mayorkas did his job according to the law. Now, if Congress doesn't like the law, they can change that law. But they don't want to change it until next year because it's not a crisis. They don't want it to end. This is all from the star of Celebrity Apprentice running his shadow government. Now, Mitt Romney, can we talk about reversible mittens for a second? This guy. Look, I'll always praise Mitt Romney when he says the truth about something. And I think he looks a lot better since he had the bolts removed from his neck. But he's criticized this whole thing. On Monday, he said the standard has not been met for a conviction. But today, he didn't care, and he voted with the rest of the Republicans against dismissing the charges. That's why we call him Reversible Mittens. In a statement after the vote, Mitt said he doesn't believe Mayorkas' implementation of Biden's policies meets the Constitution's test of high crimes and misdemeanors, but he wanted to put him on trial anyway. That's, I think the word for that is sadism, right? I tell you, man, it's refreshing to remember that Mitt Romney flips like a crack house mattress. The House Judiciary Democrats tweeted out, this isn't about ignoring one's constitutional duty. It is about a policy disagreement disguised as an unconstitutional and evidence-free political stunt. And it was. It was a waste of time. This is what Republicans are doing. They're wasting time running out the clock, having these performative bullshit bills and impeachments that they know will go nowhere, these investigations that have no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, because their job is not to govern. Their job is not to legislate. Their job is not to improve the lives of their districts. Their job is to keep their job, and they believe they keep their job by keeping white people mad about whatever all the time. All the time. They can't bring good news home. If they bring good news home, the angry white people will vote them out. After the vote, Mitch McConnell was crying to reporters about the Senate majority leadership flexing their power and killing this political hit job. And by the way, if you know McConnell's legislation style, that's hilarious. Give a listen.
We've set a very unfortunate precedent here. This means that the Senate can ignore, in effect, the House's impeachment. It doesn't make any difference whether our friends on the other side thought he should have been impeached or not. He was. And by doing what we just did, we have, in effect, ignored the directions of the House, which were to have a trial. Had no evidence, no procedure. This is a day that's not a proud day in the history of the Senate.
So, Senator James Lankford, you know him. He looks like a creepy doll that came to life and ran for office in Oklahoma. He was the lead Republican negotiator on the bipartisan immigration House deal that Republicans walked away from. He gave them everything they wanted, and they called him a rhino for it. And he actually told the truth today about something. He told reporters he understands why they're frustrated with Mayorkas, but he said the secretary is ultimately doing his job, gearing up President Biden's policies. He says that's what a secretary is going to do. So you can swap secretaries. The policies are going to be exactly the same. I mean, he's right. If Mayorkas had somehow been convicted and thrown out by the Senate, the White House would appoint someone else to do the job and follow the same policies. It's just, they're just so stupid. They're so stupid. Republicans could end border crossings tomorrow if they wanted. You lock up the white people who do the hiring. That's it. I say it all the time. You have to take down the help wanted sign at the border because that's why they cross. There are no open borders. There's a help wanted sign at the border. And Republicans will not do anything to jeopardize that sign because they need the racists who hate immigrants to vote for them. But they need the capitalists who hire a low-wage undocumented workforce to give them donations. And that's the dirty rot of all of this. Now, every single Democrat voted to dismiss the charges, including Democrats who are in really tough swing state re-election battles. So I give respect for it because the polling shows the border is a huge issue this year. Democrats are trying to protect a majority. John Tester in Montana, Jackie Rosen in Nevada, Tammy Baldwin in Wisconsin, Bob Casey in Pennsylvania, and our friend Sherrod Brown in Ohio. They're all up for re-election. It's going to be tight for all of them. And they all voted to get rid of this nonsense. And they said, hey, guys, you really want to solve the border crisis? Take that bipartisan bill that Republicans and Democrats negotiated together. Senator Gary Peters on the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee said Republicans need to be focused on actually working with us to find concrete solutions. That's what we proposed, and they're unwilling to actually deal with the border. Oh, Senator Gary Peters. Oh, you well-intentioned, misguided soul. Republicans will not work with you. This is the day. This is what we're at now. If Republicans work with Democrats to help their constituents, they will be primaried for the sin of working with Democrats. This is what Christian nationalism has done to us now. We've gone from hate your enemies to hate your own representatives if they work with your enemies to improve your own fucking life. The National Republican Senatorial Committee told Axios, the lawmakers' votes against the impeachment will be used in campaign ads and on the trail. And that's the only reason this impeachment ever came up for a vote. Speaking of vote, if you're looking for the House Republicans' foreign aid bill, keep on looking. They have not released the package yet. We hope that these bills will happen to send billions in aid to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, and millions to Gaza. We're going to be sending billions to Israel to destroy Gaza and millions to Gaza to help them. I know, it's insanity. Marjorie Taylor Greene is saying that Mike Johnson's speakership is over, either this week or when the GOP next has the House majority. She wants him gone now. So does Thomas Massie. We played that clip last night. They want him to resign or they will try to remove him from the job. And you know what? I think they're really going to do it. These two don't care how bad it looks. I've always believed Massie is somehow paid by Russia, but I'm starting to believe it about Marjorie Taylor Greene as well. They will do anything to help the rape of Ukraine. And that's what this is all about. And I think there's a very good chance that Mike Johnson's in on it, and they're all stalling together. Johnson says he's not resigning, and none of them will be speaker in 2025. That's the year that the speaker's gavel will fly into Hakeem Jeffries' hands like it's Thor's hammer. But if Johnson can somehow make this work with Ukraine, Israel, all these bills, the Taiwan bill, by Saturday night, he can eke out a win here and say that House Republicans did this and it was bipartisan. He's going to need Democrats to do it. And that's the tricky part. He might get some help because Mike Gallagher, who's so fed up with this, he's quitting, Republican from Wisconsin. He was supposed to leave on Friday. He has now agreed to stay in Congress one more day till Saturday. So our speaker better hope these Republicans aren't going home for the weekend to campaign. But I want to leave you with this. Mike Johnson launched this really misleading attack at the end of the day, accusing Senate Democrats of shirking their duties by not going through with this trial of Mayorkas. He tweeted out, "By voting unanimously to bypass their constitutional responsibility, every single Senate Democrat has issued full endorsement of the Biden administration's dangerous open border policies. Secretary Mayorkas, alongside President Biden, has used every tool at his disposal to engineer the greatest humanitarian and national security catastrophe at our borders in American history." Well, get her. Mike, if it was a catastrophe, your party wouldn't be saying it can wait till 2025 to address. And can I also say, is that a nice thing to say about those Democrats who are going to save your job? Maybe, just maybe, you should get back to achieving absolutely nothing as Speaker of the House beyond revealing your party's complete inability to govern. We want to know what you guys think. We are at 866-997-4748. 866-997-GRIT. We'll be right back with the great Bob Seska. This is Progress.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
This is SiriusXM Progress. We are at 866-997-4748. I started out Southern, then I turned Brooklyn. That's how my house was growing up. When you're half Southern, half Brooklyn, you're bilingual, you know. That's how it is. My Southern grandma called us y'all, and my Brooklyn granddad called us rat bastards. So the accents all blend together for me. We are SiriusXM Progress 127. I am so pleased to welcome back to the show one of the smartest players in the game. I love Bob Seska. I became a fan of his columns and listening to him on the Stephanie Miller Show. He drops weekly columns and bonus material at his Patreon, patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. He hosts the Bob Seska Show, one of the best podcasts about politics and music you will ever hear, as well as Trek Politics. And we are always blessed to have him join us on a Wednesday night. Mr. Seska, happy hump day to you.
How are you, John? You know, I spent the first 20 years of my life saying y'all because I grew up in Virginia. And yeah, they say y'all in Virginia. And meantime, like you, my dad was from New York City. So I had this weird mix of
you had the
Virginia,
same thing.
Yeah, Virginia slang and New York City whatever that accent is. So, yeah.
I mean, same, you know, I grew up with the use as the plural. Second person plural was use, and second person plural was y'all. And you can hybridize it to be y'all, which kind of works in both locations, but, you know, not for everybody.
There's a new one that I can't deal with, and it goes like this. It goes, people say this all the time. Instead of saying you guys, they make you guys plural, and so they say your guyses, which I just can't embrace that one. I'm just gonna sidestep that one entirely. Your guys,
that's not Ebonics. That's some white person. That's some white person fuckery.
That's
right,
white,
Bob?
Yeah, that's white person slang. We hear lots of white people pluralizing, possessive pluralizing you guys and saying your guyses.
I think I just became a Republican. It is so good to have
you
with us.
I'm sure there's lots of overlap there, too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You think? Listen, Bob, before we go anywhere, I want to tell you, I hope you enjoyed the sequel to Ken Burns' The Civil War, where Donald Trump gave a solo spoken word performance explaining the Battle of Gettysburg. For those of you who might have missed this, I want to replay it because this is proof that God loves us and wants us to laugh. Chris, do you have the former host of Celebrity Apprentice?
Where our union was saved by the immortal heroes at Gettysburg. Gettysburg, what an unbelievable battle that was. The Battle of Gettysburg, what an unbelievable. I mean, it was so much and so interesting and so vicious and horrible and so beautiful in so many different ways. It represented such a big portion of the success of this country. Gettysburg, wow. I go to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania to look and to watch. And the statement of Robert E. Lee, who's no longer in favor. Did you ever notice that? No longer in favor. Never fight uphill, me boys. Never fight uphill. They were fighting uphill. He said, wow, that was a big mistake. He lost his great general. And they were fighting. Never fight uphill, me boys. But it was too late.
Bob, what movies did Donald Trump watch in the last 20 years before that Adderall-generated word salad?
He was mixing all kinds of things in there. I think he was
just
mixing...
Just so people know, Robert E. Lee never said any of those things. Never said any of those things. This thing has been fact-checked all week.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think Donald Trump was mixing Gettysburg and a strip club, because I go there to look and to watch.
That's probably it.
I think he was... he definitely mixed up the Civil War, Robert E. Lee, and Gettysburg with the movie The Outsiders, because that's where that... Never Attack Uphill Me Boys. That was Matt Dillon in The Outsiders, a movie that has nothing to do with the Civil War, Robert E. Lee, anything having to do with Gettysburg. It was Matt Dillon in the 1950s era movie directed by Francis Ford Coppola with Ralph Macchio. Emilio Estevez was in there. That was the movie he was quoting in the context of Robert E. Lee saying, never attack uphill me boys. Oh, God. And then Gettysburg, wow. I you know what?
Gettysburg,
that's
wow.
Gotta be
so beautiful, Bob. It was so beautiful. 50,000 casualties. It was so much beauty. And what is this thing with, like, you're defending Robert E. Lee in Gettysburg? Back in my day, people would say, oh, wait, we're the Union side. But no, not anymore. Now, if you're at a Trump rally, you're for the Confederacy. I'm sorry. I want to hear one Trump supporter call out the Confederacy once. I literally think that he's their second president after Jefferson Davis. Yeah.
In addition to being a moron, Donald Trump, I think, was stumbling through that explanation of Gettysburg mainly because he didn't want to piss off his fanboys, who are not fans of the fact that the Union won at Gettysburg, because their cultural heritage or whatever, however they're defining the Confederacy, is beloved to them. And so I don't think he wanted to piss them off with saying, oh, yes, this is a wonderful victory, and we destroyed the Confederacy. It was the high watermark of the Confederacy, and it was nothing but downhill for the Confederacy from that point forward for the rest of the war. He wasn't about to say anything like that, because he would have pissed off his people and they would have started walking out, the whatever couple hundred people that were there in the first place. So it turned into that word salad of gibberish. And you know, the Gettysburg wow thing reminded me of that, of the Kevin Smith movie Dogma, where George Carlin rolls out that rebranding of Catholicism and calls it Catholicism wow. and he's got the buddy Christ there and everything. So that, I think maybe the Gettysburg Tourist Bureau could pick up on that and do something that's uplifting about Gettysburg. Oh, you know, so much of the battle, it's so gruesome and awful. Let's do something that's happy and fun. How about Gettysburg Wow as a slogan for the town?
Bob, over 30 years ago, Vice President Dan Quayle was pilloried by the world media for misspelling the word potato.
Yes.
What does it say about the Republican Party and our culture that Donald Trump massacring history, Civil War, and reality itself will not cost him a single vote with the Republican base? Something that stupid and that dishonest is not a deal breaker for his voting public.
No, absolutely not. In fact, it actually makes him more endearing to those people, to the people who support him, because he's an idiot like they are. I think that's how they see him.
Oh, I see.
He speaks
one
their language. Yeah, I don't know anything about what happened at Gettysburg. It's Gettysburg Wow, and it's never attack uphill, me boys. Apparently, Robert E. Lee was Irish to these people. So this was one of those things where, yeah, they can relate to that. They can relate to that feeling of having to answer a question in class, having not read the material, and trying to bullshit their way through an answer for material they know nothing about.
So he says what we think, say the people who don't think.
Yeah, that's exactly how it is. That's a great read on the situation.
I understand.
Trump was president for 4 years, John. He has been to Gettysburg. I mean, this has been documented that he's been there, ostensibly listened to people talking about that battle. He has the ability to avail himself of any historian who he would choose to explain to him what happened at Gettysburg. I mean, the thing is, the reality of that battle is it was exactly the opposite of what he was talking about. Robert E. Lee did nothing but attack uphill at Gettysburg, Culp's Hill, Cemetery Hill, the Round Tops, Cemetery Ridge. It was all Confederates attacking uphill. The reverse of what happened to the Union Army at Fredericksburg just 6-7 months prior to Gettysburg. So he got the entire lesson of Gettysburg upside down, backwards, turned inside out. It was like whatever came out of the Brundlefly transporters at the end of the Fly, that mishmash of Fly and Brundle. And it was just horrendous.
But why don't they care, Bob? Why don't they care? I mean, this guy has mutilated the truth so many times, and it just makes them, the more stupid he is, the more loyal they are.
Yeah, well, I don't think they care about his grasp of facts. They certainly don't care about the fact that his entire life has been marked by business failure after business failure. He hasn't had a successful business in his entire life. He's already been adjudicated a fraud in civil court. He's now on trial for fraud in criminal court. And yet these deluded, awful suckers want him to be the steward of the economy. They want to give him control over all of our finances, over all of our businesses, to whatever extent the president has control over those things. So that's one of these gigantic disconnects that I think is even bigger than the disconnect between, you know, having a president who knows things and is competent versus Donald Trump, who doesn't know anything and is completely incompetent. And I didn't even get into the fact that he had a giant recession during his first term, and he had a manufacturing recession during his first term.
What? I don't remember. What? I don't remember that.
What? Oh, yeah. It's all.
No. The media told me that all happened for under Biden. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Right. But it has. It's all been flushed down the memory hole. And you're not going to get anyone who's a diehard Trump supporter to admit any of those things, by the way. Even though they factually happened, you can look it up. It's real. I mean, find me a business that Trump has run that has been at all successful. The only successful thing he's really ever done is the Celebrity Apprentice. The Apprentice and the Celebrity Apprentice. And he had really nothing to do with that. He was just coached
Hang
the whole
on a
way
second.
Through.
Hang
by
on
Mark
a second. Burnett. Okay, I hate to disagree with you. But first off, successful hat salesman. Secondly, the Apprentice was in the ratings toilet. It was only when he converted it to having celebrities pretending to respect him to get another 16 minutes of fame that the show was saved. So, I mean, I'd say maybe as a brand licensor, he was successful. But you know what I say to my MAGA trolls and people assailing me, Bob? I say, whatever you do, MAGA, please don't buy stock in Trump media. That's what that'll own the libs. If you buy Trump media stock, we libs hate that so much. It'll just own us all. And I got to say, Bob, Trump media stock is going down so hard, Vivid Video just offered it a 10-picture deal. What do you make of where Donald Trump's DJT on the ticker is going right now?
It's rapidly making its way toward penny stock status. It had a decent day today. I couldn't believe it. It actually did kind of well. Let me see here. Yeah, it was up 15%. So I guess this would be, as they say, and I've been repeating this phrase, and it's a horrible, horrible thing, and it's indicative of the sociopaths in lower Manhattan who deal with all this shit. But it's a dead cat bounce. It's fallen so low, it's hit the ground and then bounced back up again. And that's what the 15% increase in the stock price today probably signifies. I imagine it's going to be back down again tomorrow morning.
Well, if you believe the Stormy Daniels testimony, Trump being up 15% is about as good as it gets. Now, Mr. Seska, there's something I have to ask you about, because I will admit I don't get to follow everything as closely as I'd like. And I haven't really been following the National Popular Vote Compact that much. But apparently Maine just joined this week. What does this mean? And why should progressives lean in on this?
Oh, this is a huge deal. If you hate the Electoral College, this is something you need to know about. And in fact, you know, we've been so ensconced in bad news. This is extraordinarily good news. The National Popular Vote Interstate Compact is a series of laws that have been being passed state by state that would allocate each of those states' electoral votes to the winner of not the state popular vote, but the national popular vote. This is an effort to basically neuter the Electoral College. It would still exist, but instead of, as I said, instead of allocating electoral votes to the winner of the statewide popular vote, it would go to the national popular vote, those electoral votes. And so far, we're up to a total of 209 electoral votes, states representing 209 electoral votes. So therefore, if we get another, however the math works out, 61 electoral votes on top of that, states composing another 61 electoral votes, that hits 270. That means all of these laws go immediately into effect for the next presidential election. It's not going to be this one. It's not going to be this year. We're not going to pass. There's several more states that still need to pass this law. But once those states pass the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact, then it'll go into effect. I'm guessing it could be effective as early as 2028 for that presidential election. Yeah.
So how soon until Al Gore gets seated in the White House, Bob? How soon until President Gore can finally take his place like the American people wanted 24 years ago?
Well, actually, between Al Gore losing that election, George W. Bush winning the election but losing the popular vote, the same thing with Donald Trump in 2016, because of those two elections, I used to be a supporter of the Electoral College. I used to, you know, I'm basically a product of my college education and political science professors telling me, yeah, the Electoral College is pretty good. I was disabused of that in two elections, 2000, 2016. And I said, you know what? Enough of this crap. This is an outdated, archaic institution. It needs to go. And I think the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact is the only way that's going to happen. There's no present constitutional amendment making its way through. That's not going to be a solution to the Electoral College problem. This is the only one. And by the way, we've got, I'm just going to name off just a handful of states that still need to pass this, but it's on the way through the state legislatures of Virginia, North Carolina, Michigan, Arizona, and Nevada. If they all pass the popular vote, the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact, then it goes into effect because it gets added on to the other states that have already passed it. That'll bring us up to 270, and that's when it'll start rolling. And so that's going to be invariably great news.
Now, Bob, let me ask you a question. What is the number one reason our right-wing friends always give for why we need to keep the Electoral College? It has to do with the minority states having more power, right? Having a fair playing field, right?
Right, right. Well, they're concerned that the big cities would then decide our elections, which, you know what?
Or the more populous states would.
Yes, exactly. Where there are people, those people would decide the outcome of our presidential elections. And I mean, in fact, one of the reasons why I used to support the Electoral College is because it encouraged presidents to campaign outside of the big cities, outside of the areas where there are the most votes to be gotten. So it would, you know, essentially give more attention to smaller areas with people that would have to campaign in Iowa rather than just focusing on Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, Atlanta, places like that. So in that sense, yeah. Right.
So in other words, people are opposing affirmative action because they don't want a level playing field for minority people, but they want the Electoral College because they want a level playing field for minority states. Am I getting this right? Yeah, thought so.
Yes. It is absolutely an archaic way of electing a president. We are, I think, the only country that does it that way. It was very much a product of how this nation started, where you had aristocrats essentially authoring the Constitution and setting this up without a whole lot of trust in people like women, black people, anyone who didn't own property. You know, those people didn't matter as much as the wealthy property owners who authored and ratified the Constitution. So that's why we were saddled with the Electoral College, and it's proven itself now on five elections. Because you also remember John Quincy Adams, Rutherford B. Hayes, and Benjamin Harrison, also elected by the Electoral College after losing the popular vote. So five times, man, that's enough. You do five complete catastrophes, and it's time to shit can this thing.
We have to remember, seven of the last eight presidential elections, the American people have rejected the Republican candidate, but we still got 12 years Republicans because dead slave owners demanded this damn thing. Let me get one more call in. Wes is calling from New Orleans. Wes, you're on with Bob Seska. Hello.
No, it's Lance.
Oh, Lance, I'm so sorry. Welcome, Lance.
What's up, y'all? Hey, Bob.
Hey.
I got a little offer for you. You know a sassy Jody shirt you got? Try getting it on a hot sauce bottle.
You're asking if I can put it on a hot sauce? What?
Yeah, put it on a hot sauce bottle.
Yeah,
Lance,
you know what?
Would you care to explain to everybody else listening what you're talking about? Or is this just, should we leave and let you and Bob do this?
Hey, Bob, because I also want to tell Bob something about his jetpack of beef made out of beef. There's already a hoverboard that you don't need to jetpack no more.
Okay. What he's talking about here, in the store, in the merch store that I have connected to my podcast, we're selling Spicy Jody t-shirts because Jody Hamilton is nicknamed Spicy Jody on my show. And so we created a fake hot sauce called Spicy Jody Hot Sauce. And it's now in t-shirt form, mug form, all the usual stuff that you get in a merch store connected to a podcast. So that's what we're talking about here. And I think Lance is talking about having us market actual hot sauce, Spicy Jody sauce, which no one would buy except for you, Lance. So,
us Cajuns, we do like spicy stuff, you know. But also,
I never heard that, really.
The jetpack made of beef. Somebody that beat you to it is a hoverboard. Do it for like 30 minutes. Go on YouTube, type in hoverboard, and you can see what I'm talking about. Even the United States Army was interested in buying this.
Well, is the hoverboard made of beef?
Is it a beef hoverboard?
Is it a beef hoverboard?
Not really, but it does. It runs off of small jet engines, and it puts a guy from a backpack on his back, but he gets 30 minutes out of it.
I'm only interested in conveyances that are made of beef. So, just so you know, if it's not made of beef, I'm just not interested, Lance.
I think I'm having a flashback to that time I did acid in the 90s.
Yeah, it's another reference to my podcast, John. Jetpacks made of beef. That's a metaphor. Donald Trump promises all kinds of things, and his fanboys believe him.
Is the danger, Bob. Well, yeah, they can corner you live here. Your podcast is safely pre-recorded. Here, you have to deal with them in real time.
I don't
Lance,
take calls on my show. Yeah.
Thank you. I know. Lance, thank you so much. You have me craving hot sauce now, but our time has come to an end. Mr. Seska, how can our listeners follow you and keep up with all your many heroic doings?
You can follow the Bob Seska Show everywhere you get your podcasts and at BobSeskaShow.com.
You are the best, sir. Thank you so much for classing up our Wednesdays.
Thanks,
quick break.
My friend.
We will be back in just a moment to take your calls. We're at 866-997-4748. This is Progress.
We have serious problems to solve.
This is like Watergate, only it's worse.
We are all here to save the world.
Hello, sexy liberal.
Stephanie Miller, sexy liberal, save the world. Comedy tour is underway. Next up at the Fillmore in the birthplace of America, Philadelphia.
In Philadelphia, it's worth $50.
Saturday, April 27th with Stephanie Miller, John Fugelsang, comedy duo Frangela, and Hal Sparks. Special panel guests, Glenn Kirshner, JoJo from Jersey. Burns and Lindy Lee.
I will say this, stop it.
Special VIP tickets get you meet and greet access to the stars after the show. April 27th in Philadelphia at the Fillmore. And these dates on the way.
May 11th, Madison. May 18th, Albuquerque. June 1st, Seattle. June 22nd, Denver. July 13th, Boston. July 27th, Atlanta. August 3rd, New York. August 17th, Chicago. September 7th, Portland. September 21st, Durham, North Carolina. September 28th, Phoenix. October 12th, Kansas City. November 2nd, Los Angeles. January 18th, 2025, Washington, D.C.
Tickets at sexyliberal.com.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
This is SiriusXM Progress. We are at 866-997-4748. That is 866-997-GRIT. I want to play you this quick clip earlier today. Back in Pennsylvania, here is Joe Biden vowing that U.S. steel will not be absorbed by a Chinese competitor.
I was almost exactly 5 years ago that I began my campaign for president right here in Pittsburgh, where I announced. I said one of the reasons I was running to was rebuild the backbone of America, the middle class. And as already mentioned, it's been mentioned 1,000 times, thankfully, since then, that the backbone of America has a steel spine. It really does have a steel spine. You heard me say it before. Wall Street didn't build America. The middle class didn't build America. And you guys built the middle class. Unions built it. And that's why I'm here today to announce a series of actions that I stand by you, the American steelworker. Look, first, U.S. Steel has been an iconic American company for more than a century, and it should remain a totally American company. American-owned, American-operated by American Union steelworkers, the best in the world, and that's going to happen, I promise you.
Let's go to the phones, huh? Dr. Tracy Pearson's going to join us in just a few, but let's go to Bill in New Jersey.
We're bigger than U.S. Steel.
What was that, Chris?
We're bigger than U.S. Steel.
Well, what's that from?
A little art house film called The Godfather.
The Godfather. The Godfather. It took as soon as I asked, I'm so ashamed. I knew. Mo Green. Someone shot him in the eye. Let's go to Bill in New Jersey. Bill, thanks for your patience on hold. You're on Progress.
Hey, thank you. I was thinking about approaching Trump for some money for Gettysburg the Musical and get some backing on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure there's plenty of people Donald Trump hasn't asked for money yet, so it's probably a good idea.
Right. And I'm thinking maybe there should be Gettysburg, the theme park with, you know, water slides and stuff and everything.
I mean, it's so beautiful. Why not? So much beauty there.
Yeah,
so
the lazy river of irrationality. But anyway,
Donald Trump should be forced to talk about the Civil War. He should be forced to be interviewed about it and give his opinions what each side was up to. I think every Republican should. Go ahead.
Right. And they should also have It's a Small World of Fetuses and after all. One of the things I wanted to mention, and I hope you're going to bring it up next time. I think it's a good topic for the God Squad, is the religious mysticism. I took a class in like 73 from a minister who was really cool. He drove a Sunbeam Alpine, which was like an English roadster. And we went through Christian mysticism with the like Greek Orthodox, with Islamic mysticism with the whirling dervishes, and Jewish mysticism with the Kabbalah. And it was really a good class, and worth getting into, transcendence and all that.
I love that stuff.
That and a deep dive into Elmer Gantry again, because mm-hmm. that book is so now, the guy won a Sinclair Lewis, won a Nobel Peace Prize for it back in the 20s, and his book was banned in Boston and a whole lot of other places. Because
I didn't know that.
He did deep research, and he went after the evangelists and politicians. And he based Elmer Gantry on, Billy Sunday, who was a big-time preacher who called Lewis Satan's cohort. It goes about behind the scenes and the phoniness of the, those moving tabernacles they had on the road and
right.
stuff. And he did a really good deep dive into it. And he got, I think, what's his name? H.G. Wells started a publication based on his book. And
wow. I must confess, I've never read Elmer Gantry. I've seen the movie, but I've never read the book. So you have shamed me into needing to read this now with all my free time.
Well, the movie is good, too. It's pretty close. I was going to mention that, and I said this before, that the Republicans are all about revenge.
And yes, this whole campaign is based on vengeance.
Well, especially going back to Clinton impeachment, when the reporter approached Bob Barr and Henry Hyde, that asshole, and asked him if this was payback for Watergate. He said, "I wouldn't say it wasn't," and that's what mm-hmm. it's been. And then because Trump got impeached, now they got to impeach. It's everything is payback with them.
I know, but that's not why they did this. They did not try to impeach Mayorkas to have payback for Trump's impeachments. They didn't try to impeach Joe Biden. They did this because they have nothing to offer their voters, and they need to do anything they can to create the playing field that Biden is as corrupt as Trump. It's exactly the play they did on Hillary.
Okay. It's so absurd what we're living in, and it's so Russian, and nobody can see that side to it. I think when this is all over, they're going to discover so many links between Russia and, who's going to want to live with that history behind them?
They're all going to be dead. By the time this all comes out, they'll all be dead. And then there'll be books published, and we'll know everything, and we'll know all about Paul Manafort and how deeply into this they were. Well, I'm with you, man. I'd like to see it resolved in our lifetime. I don't think it will be. And I think, like everything else, we had to wait till Nixon was dead to find out how evil he truly was. And I think the same is going to be the case here.
Yeah, you're right. One last thing. The Torah is probably the closest to the original, which was made over a few hundred years, only because when it's copied, it has to be done a certain way. And if the scribe makes a mistake on a page, these big pieces of sheepskin, whatever it is, they have to start over. And you're not permitted to touch the Torah. And it's not because it's holy. You have to use a pointer. But if your finger should touch it, it might smear the ink and change the meaning of a word. And so it's been copied over and over again pretty well. And the Dead Sea Scrolls kind of proved it. I'm not saying it's perfect or anything, but it's pretty close to, what happened when they wrote to share.
Well, next time call into the God Squad and we'll put you on and we can discuss it. I thank you very much for the call, man. Have a great evening. I want to go now to Rachel in Los Angeles on line 3. Rachel, thank you so much for waiting on hold. You're on Sirius XM Progress.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my call. Can you hear
thank
me okay?
You.
I'm on a weird news
I
microphone.
Sure can. You sound great.
Okay, good.
Sound great.
Thank you. Okay, I'm starting off with cheerier things. There's so many other things going on. I wanted to tell you something funny, John, that happened to me on the eclipse,
Tell me about your eclipse time. Did you have a good... Where were you for the eclipse? Did you have a good view in L.A., or did you have to go south?
No. It's not the actual eclipse, but the day of the eclipse, I had something like cosmic happen to me.
Tell me what happened.
Okay. So, yeah, no, I couldn't see it. I don't know. I got up. I'm here in L.A. I walked out. The sun was out. I went back inside. It was, no, I didn't, it was like 11 in the morning or I don't know. I think I, whatever.
We had 90% of an eclipse in Central Park in New York, and it was
that
the
sounds,
most.
Oh, no, yours sounded so
incredible.
Cool.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I've never actually seen an eclipse before. And boy, I believe the hype. I get it now. It was incredible. And I didn't even get to see a real one. I just saw 90% of one, and that was incredible.
That's so, you're so lucky. That's so, Central Park is so magical. I miss New York so much all the time. Every time I go to New York and then I have to leave, I'm so sad to leave. Like,
yeah.
Okay, yeah. Listen. So, okay, so, you know, it's Mercury retrograde, you know, like, and I have a routine every night. I, like, go to my pool, do my swim, then I go to the market, and then I go home. And, like, I went to my pool, and, like, it was really cold. Like, the wind was fucking blowing, and, like, the pool was closing early, and, like, I got in the pool for 5 minutes, and then I was not warming up, and I, like, aborted my swim, and Mercury retrograde, I stopped the swim, and I left early, and everyone's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm cold, I'm getting out, it's too cold, and I go to the market, and also my uniform in life, John, and then always after my swim, I put the same pink turtleneck every night because I know I'm going home to shower anyway, but I have this pink turtleneck. It's like my thing. It just always seems to be the best thing that works wherever I go. And so I'm in my pink turtleneck, and I go to my market, and right when I'm going in is Charo in her
the
pink
Charo?
Turtleneck. Yes, and we're twinning. Like, she has her pink turtleneck on, too.
This just happened on Eclipse Day? This happened on Eclipse Day?
Yes, she is like my new inspiration. And also I had gardenias with me because I have a secret bush that I pick them from every night. Like, and I had a bunch of them with me. And like, we were both in the pink turtleneck. And like, I was like, oh my God, I love you. Da, da, da.
Oh my God, I miss Charo so much. You know, the worst thing about being a millennial or Gen Z is you have no idea who Charo is. And my God, that woman's a good guitar player, by the way. She's really talented.
She's amazing. Now she's my inspiration. Like, so she was so nice. We took a picture together. You could see my gardenia in the picture. Like, if you look on my Instagram, we're both in our pink turtlenecks and everything. It was like, she was so nice. And like, I was all excited for the rest of the time in the market, you know? And I kept saying, like, the first person I go to was like a cute guy, but he was probably like 35 in the vegetable place. And I'm like, oh my God, Charo. And he was like, who, what? And then I go, coochie coochie. And he's like, oh yeah. Like, that happened to me like four different times with the people in the market. Like,
wow. I bet she never hears Coochie Coochie. That's a good question. She's 73 now, Charo. That's a great story.
I
only saw the moon eclipse the sun. You got to see Charo. I think you won.
And we were both in pink turtleneck. Like, John, go and, like, see. And she commented, like, I put it, and then she commented some hearts, some stuff. And, like, now I look at her Instagram all the time, and she's very, like, inspirational how she starts her day. She's, like, very positive, you know? Like, she's adorable.
So nice.
I love her.
That's
like,
so nice. Okay, well, tell the kids how to follow you on Instagram, Rachel, so they can see your Charo comments.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, you have to scroll because it was like last week. But so it's like six pictures down or something. It's on I'm a Flower Girl TV, like Supergirl, but Flower Girl watching TV. Flower Girl TV.
Right on. I love your story.
John also. Yeah, on Instagram.
Yes.
And like, I just got Apple TV Plus. I got it because of Palm Royale, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, this Ted Lasso. I hate to be like late to the party on this. It's such a good show.
Yeah.
You know, like,
there's a lot of good shows on Apple.
Show. What?
There's a lot of good shows on Apple TV.
There totally are. It's fabulous. Like, I don't need my HBO. I know I haven't seen the last part of, I like traded in for HBO for a month. Like,
okay. Right on.
Anyway,
there's good shows and good movies too on the Apple TV. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, there's a lot to watch.
Right on.
But anyway, so I wanted to tell you that, John. And like, you know what? Fuck it. I mean, these Republicans are ridiculous with their stupid impeachment thing and Marjorie Taylor Greene parading. And they're all for Putin. They are the Putin people. It's disgusting.
Yes. That's it. I mean, that's it. And it's, again, I can't wait for it to be 20 years from now when all the books come out and we find out who was being paid by Russia in this time. Because I have never thought I would see so many Republicans arguing against helping American allies who are being invaded and slaughtered en masse. But boy, man, they do it. Yeah.
It's bizarre. Like people who are, you know, there's certain people around to go like that. I just remember his name, Andrew Sullivan, who's always on Bill Maher. He's always like, oh, Russia, Russia, Russia. There was nothing there.
No, that's not true either. That's not, and I like Andrew Sullivan at times, but there was a lot there. Russia hacked our election. Russia hacked the RNC. They hacked the DNC. They only released the Democrats' emails. Just Google Paul Manafort. I mean, Donald Trump's campaign manager got fired for sharing polling data with Russian spies. For God's sakes, these people. Oh, you know what, Rachel? You got Apple TV. Go ahead and make the commitment to For All Mankind. That's my favorite show on Apple TV. It's crazy good. It's a TV show about NASA, but it's sort of NASA what if, and it has the whole idea behind it is, well, what if the Russians made it to the moon first and had a woman on the moon before America ever did? What would happen then? And it winds up changing all of American culture. The ERA is passed in the early 1970s, and America does everything they can do to get to the moon and then get to Mars first. And it winds up being this amazing show about what reality could have been, and it's just incredibly creative. I recommend it really highly.
Tell me the title
For All Mankind.
Again?
No need to
For
watch
All Mankind.
John, just explain the whole plot.
Because Chris got me all into the Expanse on Sci-Fi, and now Amazon, and so I'm all in this NASA head, and then I got into this show because of Chris. What were you going to say, boss?
Well, For All Mankind was just renewed for a fifth season, so you know it's good because streamers never renew anything. And Apple just greenlit a spin-off series that's going to basically retell the same story, but from behind the Iron Curtain perspective.
Nice.
That sounds cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I also want to say that they've added a second season of Shrinking, which is a show that it took me a while to get into, but if you commit to it with Jason Segel and Harrison Ford, Harrison Ford and Jessica Williams are so great in this show. And I know Jessica, I've had a crush on her for years, but like Harrison Ford is so great on this show. It'll help you get through the stuff that's not great on it. It winds up being really, really, it's a show that I gave up on. Then went back to, and the best show on Apple TV is Severance, the Ben Stiller series, the best show on Apple TV.
What's that about?
Oh, it's a sci-fi show. I don't want to tell you anything.
You guys
just go
are so
watch it.
You're boyish with your sci-fi stuff. Like, I'll watch the first thing about the Russians because the Russians are in it.
Okay, well, Severance isn't really sci-fi, but it's about a guy who you go through this process at this company,
Severance,
which it separates you.
I can take that.
You win for the Joan Severance. You win for the Joan Severance reference. Joan Severance was the woman in See No Evil, Hear No Evil with Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder, right?
She was a gorgeous lady.
I remember the 80s. No, check out Severance. Ben Stiller directed it, and it's about this procedure that separates your memories of work from your memories of home. So when you go to work, you don't know who you are outside of work, and when you go home, you don't know anything about what you do at work due to a brain implant chip, and it's really cool.
I like more girls. It's still too little too boy. I'm sorry. Like, there's other things. I need more girls. The show Loot is really good with Maya Rudolph.
Okay. I got to catch up on that one, too. I don't watch enough TV. I'm trying to be a better American.
Boy, like, that's boyish. What you just said to me, you lost me halfway through. Like,
No. Patricia Arquette's like the bad guy in this show. It's really good. You should check it out. Severance. Check out that and For All Mankind and The Shrinking. And then come back to me next week when you've watched every episode of every season of all these shows. I got to hit a break or I'm going to go to jail. Dr. Tracy's waiting in the wings, and we're waiting for your calls at 866-997-4748. Rachel, thank you for being awesome. We'll be right back with more of your calls and the good doctor. This is Progress.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is Progress. Welcome to it. I'm Fugelsang. It's that time again. Dr. Tracy is in the house. Dr. Tracy Pearson is a legal analyst and consultant you've seen on TV or heard on the radio or the podcast or quoted in the media or all over, from Forbes to Fast Company to the New York Post to News Nation to Cheddar. We are blessed to have her with us every hump day evening. Dr. Tracy, welcome back to SiriusXM.
Well, thank you, John. It is wonderful to be with you. I know you are in Los Angeles, and again, we are separated by a screen, but that's okay. That's okay, because I'm here with you, and that's all that matters.
I promise when my book is written, Tracy, when my book is turned in, I will come out to L.A. and do all my shows in the studio again. It's just that to drive from here to the studio is like 90 minutes at best during rush hour, and then a half hour to drive back, which means 2 hours, which means in a week that's 10 hours of the week I spend on the freeway, and I'm on a deadline. So I'm here lashed to my typewriter, far, far away. But it's nice to blow you off in the same city. Let's have a coffee. Come have a coffee sometime. We could talk about the Trump trial, or we could talk about it right now. What a week. I'm dying to know what your take is on what we have seen so far. I got to say, for a really boring trial that's not that interesting, that no one cares about, I've been riveted all week long.
It's been riveting. It's been frustrating for me, although I do think that that in most cases, having a video camera in the courtroom is a good idea. In this situation, I do not. I think that in this situation, because of Trump's neuroses, that he is going to pander to the camera, and he will behave in such a way that will disrupt the proceedings, and disrupting the proceedings is helpful to his campaign for his people. But
he's already got his people. He's already got his people, though. I mean, if he's having a fit and passing out and sane people can see it.
Yeah. And I hear that, except that I want the judicial system to work. And I think that in this situation, like I've had like about 200 hours of watching live trials and doing commentary, cut my teeth on court TV, and then went to Law and Crime, then went to bigger networks. And it is having a camera in the courtroom for this case for him is going to be a problem, because when you watch these things, there's lots of stuff that goes on in the courtroom. Generally speaking, the attorneys on either side don't hate each other with such a passion that they want to kill each other. And so you are collegial. You will smile. Yeah. You will laugh. You will joke. And we get that stuff on camera. We don't turn away except for when, let's say, the jury might be in camera view. And so it'll go up to the clock, you know, or go up to the seal. Or the camera will go up to the seal. And so in this situation, what would happen is those normal behaviors in the courtroom would turn into campaign ads for Donald Trump to say something is rigged. And I think that what we can do is not give him the media to do that. We don't need to give him the footage for that. And he can act like a buffoon all he wants. Which he has. I mean, yes, there's been lots of things that I've seen.
Okay, well, let me ask you. But I get what you're saying. I disagree on impulse, because I think that every court case should be televised. I think that the Supreme Court should be televised. I think executions should be televised. Couldn't the argument be made, Doctor? And I respect where you're coming from on this, but, you know, there's all we heard that Trump fell asleep 2 days in a row, which ordinarily I'd say fine. I pass out all the time at important things. I get it. It's totally cool with me. But when you've made the main slur of your campaign, Sleepy Joe, and then you fall asleep, you open yourself up for these accusations. Yesterday, I don't know if you know this, but you can go search this on Twitter. The internet was filled with conjecture from reliable sources in the courtroom that Donald Trump was flatulent during the hearings, and that he actually broke wind while the judge was giving instructions to the jury. Now, I'm not saying this is true. What I'm saying is, if these things were televised, it would allow Donald Trump to clear his name and show that these are scurrilous rumors not to be trusted.
And I see that argument. I don't know that we would be able to determine whether he was flatulent or not. I do think the issue of him falling asleep is fascinating, although I did have a judge fall asleep in one of my court hearings, and somebody who this person was somebody who had a health issue and ended up resigning. But, you know, when you drop the book on the table and you wake him up, you know, it's disturbing. But when it comes to a defendant, you know, one of the things that I've been wondering, and I don't have any proof for this, but, you know, he is a real pain in the ass, and he doesn't seem to be able to control himself very much. And when I first heard the reporting, I wondered, when I first heard the reporting, I wondered, I wonder if they gave him some Xanax or some lorazepam to help calm him down. And that would cause him to fall asleep at various intervals.
Yeah.
And he absolutely is calming himself down, because when he was in front of Engoron, Judge Engoron, I believe it was him that was saying, or I believe it was that case where he was saying, yeah, go ahead, you know, sort of taunting the judge to put him in jail. In this situation, he seems for the most part to be able to behave himself, although he did get himself into a tiny bit of a pickle the other day.
With what? With which?
He was shooting his mouth off, muttering. And it was loud enough that Judge Marchand could hear it from where he was seated on the bench. And my experience is that the distance between defense counsel table and the bench is not insignificant. The way it looks is that you have the jury box, then what you have is the plaintiff or the district attorney's table. They're next to the plaintiff or the jury box always, because they have the burden of proof. The next table over from that is the defense table. And that's how you know where to sit in a courtroom, by the way. And so the next table over from that is the defense table. And the bench is somewhat in the middle, but he could hear what he was muttering from there. And so that tells me that it wasn't light. It wasn't soft.
Right. Right. Can I ask you about the case? Because most people already know what this is about, that to help himself win the election, Trump had Michael Cohen pay off this woman through an illegal campaign contribution. When you spend money to help yourself win an election and you don't report it, that's illegal. And then when it came time to pay Michael Cohen back, Trump conspired with him to cover it up as if it was for legal services. So I have many questions about this, but the chiefly is the defense. My understanding is that Donald Trump to this day is testifying that even though there are checks that show he paid back Michael Cohen, that he never had sex with this woman. Then, in other words, he pays women he never had sex with to say they never had sex. I think that's the defense that they're mounting here.
Yeah, he's not going to be able to mount that defense unless he takes the stand. That's something where if he was denying conduct was happening, only he would be in a position to deny that conduct, and he would need to take the witness stand to defend himself in that way. Nobody could do that for him.
That'd be wonderful, because you know Stormy Daniels is going to testify that this happened and that she got the payoff directly from Michael Cohen and that she was told to keep quiet about it and that she was told to deny it ever happened. Catch and kill, right? Michael Cohen is going to testify that he paid her and then Donald Trump reimbursed him. Donald Trump has said he wants to testify. It's a pretty safe bet he doesn't mean it, and his attorneys will never let him do that, right?
Well, that's not actually correct.
Please tell me.
It's not the lawyer's choice. Under the New York rules of professional conduct, it's clear that, and this is standard across the country, that the decision of whether to testify in your own defense is yours and yours to make. Now, your lawyer can advise you, as I have over the years advised people, hey, buddy, this is not in your best interest. It's not a good idea to do this. Right. Now, there's two things. One is if he lies, and two, or if somebody thinks he's going to lie, and then two is you know, if he just goes up there himself. If your lawyer thinks that you're going to lie, they can't actually help you suborn perjury. So they can't help you by asking you questions. And there's usually a signal that you give as a lawyer to the judge, which is, Your Honor, President Trump would like to speak to the jury, would like to speak on his own behalf. And the judge goes, uh-huh. And then he takes the stand, gets sworn in, and then is allowed to speak within certain
beautiful.
Yeah, within certain sort of limitations, and eventually gets cut off. I've had this happen to me. I know how this works. And so, but if the lawyer doesn't believe he's going to lie or wants to, you know, has made up something in their own head, what they'll do is they'll call him to the stand and swear him in, and they'll ask him questions. He'll be subject to cross-examination, just like he was under in the civil case. However, his decision on whether to testify is his, and the lawyer can't stop him. The lawyer can't stop him. And I keep hearing colleagues of mine, legal analysts, all across the country saying, oh, the lawyers are not going to let him do that.
Yeah.
Shut up, guys. You know better.
Okay. But I mean, but figuratively speaking, his lawyers would never want him to do that because their two worst nightmares are him perjuring himself and him telling the truth.
Yes. And the problem, of course, is that if he doesn't testify because, you know, his lawyers supposedly wouldn't let him, then what happens is that that case could potentially get overturned, or at least it will go up on appeal credibly. What will happen during the trial is that the judge will ask whether he wants to testify and will check to make sure that he hasn't changed his mind. It won't happen in front of the jury. But just to make sure that there's a record that he had the opportunity to do so and was declining. Now, you're innocent until proven guilty, and there can be no negative inference taken from you not testifying. I will tell you from experience with criminal defendants that when they don't testify, juries have a tendency to not like that.
Interesting. Wow. I still recommend everybody searching the words Trump and farted on Twitter and read what people are talking about. For a guy who hates wind power, just a bit ironic. That's all I'm saying. Hey, Tracy, do you want to talk to some of our evil army of the night? I want to talk to you about the Mayorkas impeachment, but let's take a couple of calls. You guys don't need to call to talk about any of these trials, anything in politics or the law. We're happy to have you. Brian in Oregon, you've been on hold forever, and I thank you for your patience. You're on with Dr. Tracy. Hello, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Tracy. How are you holding up?
I'm doing wonderfully. Thank you for
asking. She's having to work with me, man. What do you think? How much worse could it get?
Okay, you stop that.
Under that SoCal sun. I guess you guys got dumped on rain.
We got some rain this past weekend. Yeah, it was a cozy weekend. Yeah.
Oh wow, I'm gonna shrink up what I was. I'm going back to Georgia and the Trump's immigration and what I think should be a criminal investigation.
Please, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. I heard 6 months ago or so a brief interview that John Ossoff did, as he was a chairman of a subcommittee, probably oversight or something committee, and he took 18 months for him to get to the bottom and get information about what went on at that, what would you call it, immigration prison, immigration place in Georgia.
Right, detention center.
Yeah, where they sterilized those 20 or 25 immigrant women.
That's
right.
And
they were like in their 20s. And I think,
and that, by the way, thank you for mentioning that, because our media doesn't ever talk about this. Donald Trump mutilated migrant women and gave them involuntary hysterectomies. And no one cares.
I called his office a couple times. I always get the voice message because I think it's such a weird thing to call about, but I think his report needs to be made public, and I think this election season, like i.e. now, is a good time for him to have that out in the ether where people can read it, at the same time with Project 2025, because I think there's a warning in that report myself about what could be also in Stephen Miller's fantasy world.
Right. How do you link them?
Anyway.
How do you link them?
He's the one, I think, that oversaw all this stuff, ripping infants off of mother's breast and all this evil.
I mean, I honestly think that was more Jeff Sessions, to be honest with you. I mean, Jeff Sessions introduced the policy of family separation in 2017 that Trump tried to claim Obama did. And it was under that the migrant women were involuntarily sterilized and all these thousands of children were stolen, hundreds of which still haven't been returned because Donald Trump and Jeff Sessions never, ever had a system to return these kids. They never planned to.
And I think it's something with this, all these guys touting what's going on at the border. I think it's an argument that needs to be put front and center myself with all these. I think there's still a bunch of criminality and kind of basically evil, what would you call it, kidnapping. Stuff at the border under those people. And it started with that woman, Nelson.
Yes.
And I think Stephen Miller had a huge oar in the water and all that stuff. So anyway, just a thought, and I think it's been under appreciated how evil it was, and that this kind of behavior is on the horizon with these wing nuts getting any kind of a power lever.
I agree completely. Agree completely, Tracy.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think that it's important to have that information out there, if nothing else, than to make people aware of it, to document it, to tell the story of these folks. I know that there's a book by Sobolov, I think, called Separated, that folks should check out. But it is one of those things where, accountability and consequences for that conduct are unlikely, I think, to come about. And I wonder how, for those who are going to vote for him, whether it's really, it's not going to matter. It's probably going to make them vote for him more. And for the people who are adamantly opposed to him, it's not going to help in this election. It's not, this is not the issue. The issue is going to be abortion. And it's going to be whatever comes out of these trials, potentially.
That's it.
I agree with all that. And I would stipulate, too, that I think the Ossoff report should be read and understood so it can be dissected for people who participated, like, i.e. Dr.
Right.
Uterus.
Right.
But also,
by the way, Ossoff really handed it to Louis DeJoy yesterday. That was a thrilling moment in our Senate. I have to play that clip sometime this week. Great stuff. He's a friend of the show.
They'll hopefully put a stamp on him and send him out to Duluth.
Hey, thank you so much for the call, man. I appreciate it.
Take care. Yep, bye.
Thank you, Brian. 866-997-4748. Tracy, let's talk about theater. Theater. The Mayorkas impeachment. I mean, the Republicans knew it wasn't going anywhere, and that's why they did it. The whole thing was done to try to say Democrats don't want to do anything about the border, when in reality they had a draconian border bill and Donald Trump made them kill it. The only reason they passed this was because they knew the Democrats would shove it aside.
It's sort of ironic, isn't it, that when the Senate, you know, had the majority, and Trump was facing all of these things, that these Republicans weren't smart enough to come up with this strategy themselves to get rid of those impeachment and not have a trial twice. I think that is the thing that really stings for McConnell. Like, why didn't I come up with that? It was rightful. It was something that Schumer was strong about, and I credit him for that. It's similar to what happens in a criminal trial, where you basically move to dismiss it because there isn't sufficient evidence to warrant a trial, or there isn't a law that's actually been violated based on the evidence that you have. And that's where we are. There wasn't a high crime, a misdemeanor. But I do think that some of the clips online were hilarious, with watching them carry over the articles of impeachment, and somebody has sped it up. So it sort of looks like, you know, these, I don't know, Oompa Loompas or toy soldiers that are trying to carry this thing over. I think it was a damn waste of our resources and a waste of our time. And these folks can't get anything done over there. It's really being destructive to our country, and something that people have to come out in droves and vote those idiots out.
Yeah, you nailed it. Let me go to Tim in Chicago. Tim, thanks for waiting on hold. You're on Sirius XM. Good evening.
Hi, Tim.
Hello to you both. Dr. Pearson, so honored to be talking with you. I really enjoy you and all your podcastery. And you, Glenn Kirshner, and Corey Butch Schneider, and all the legal nerds over at Midas Touch. You guys have been
nice. We're going to have Corey and Glenn on next week.
Excellent. Well, yeah, you guys have just been guiding lights and all the legal shenanigans, so thank you. And keep on providing that North Star.
You're welcome.
John, real quick question for you. Are you still in touch or stay in touch with Representative Raskin?
Yes, I played his birthday party.
Yeah, but have you spoken to him recently?
More specifically, I have not spoken to him in the past.
His recent kerfuffle with Comer Pyle in the Senate.
Well, it's funny you say that. Since you brought it up, can I play it? Tracy, do you want to hear some real audio from the best moment in your government today?
Absolutely.
This is an amazing back and forth in the House Oversight Committee between the chair, James Comer, and our friend, Congressman Jamie Raskin, who is still confused as to what actual crime Comer's impeachment investigation is investigating. Give a listen to this.
I will tell you this. If
Here's
you believe
Jamie.
That it would have been illegal for
Joe Biden to take $5 million from Ukraine? It certainly would have been. What do you think about Donald Trump taking more than $5 million from the Chinese government while he was president?
Well, we know that Donald Trump had a legitimate business that he talked about and he campaigned
the
on.
The legitimate business was the White House. What business, he sold the White House.
What? Oh, give me a break. What business were the Bidens in? Well, what business did Joe Biden's family own? What business were they in? Did they have hotels? Did they have a social media company? Did they have golf courses? Did they have casinos? Did they have off?
I don't know what you're business talking were they about? In? Well, what Biden? What business is the Comers what? In? You're talking about lots of people. There's lots of people in the family.
I'm a farmer. I have land. I
your
lease
impeachment
land.
Investigation
I
must identify a high
Bidens
crime
do?
And misdemeanor.
What did they do?
I'll tell you what Joe Biden did. He was a senator of the United States. Then he wrote a book, and he said he made the most money ever made in his life, millions of dollars on his book, and he gave $1 million.
That's what his family did. That's why Ukraine, Kazakhstan, Romania, China, Russia, that's why they paid the Biden family money because of Joe Biden.
None of those governments paid anyone any money.
So, somebody needs therapy here, but it's nobody on our side of the aisle, okay?
Back to the China hearing.
You had your chance. I would like my time restored. My time
you
restired.
You had your time. You went above, and I let Ms. Thornton go a minute.
You know what?
Sit down, everybody. Come back. This is about China. We asked a simple question. No, Ms. Presley, you're out of order. Sit down.
Mr. Chairman.
He never got around to naming what the crimes and misdemeanors, you know, committed by Joe Biden were. He could not do it.
It blows my mind because when a police officer goes to conduct an investigation, he at least has some idea of what crime he's investigating. You know, I'm investigating kidnapping, robbery, something. He knows somewhat what he's doing. What they're doing is they're investigating to go find one, but they haven't found one. And so basically they're just out there sort of fishing, hoping that something bites on the hook, and there isn't anything out there for this guy. And Hunter Biden is separate from his father. The fact that Representative Raskin is frankly so tolerant, and I call that tolerant because if I had been there, I would not have been able to shut my mouth and been polite. And he was frankly polite.
Yeah, I agree. Tim, what do you think? What did you make of it?
I was going to say, well, the best part of that, for those who have not seen the footage, they are sitting right next to each other when they're doing that back and forth. Like, literally, they could punch each other. And I was, if you see the footage, you're wondering why they didn't, because it is so amazing.
It's
John,
really
the reason
tense.
The reason I bring this up is that, I brought up to you a long time ago that Mr. Raskin needs to be our next president at some point. Maybe not in 2028, at some point. Yeah. He is so good at what
he does.
Love
it.
So amazing. And this exchange is just the latest in a long list of just amazing takedowns. And he's got a whole.
I agree. You've got to keep in mind the same people who would never vote for a Jew to be president because they're so Christian, 100% vote for Donald Trump.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Trump, Dr. Mnuchin, you brought up a great point in your recent interview with Mr. Seska what the verdict renders for this first criminal trial of Donald Trump, it's that he faced justice. That's the important thing. And that's something I really hope that at the end of all this, it at least snaps America out of this neurosis that we have that we're immune to history as a country. I mean, if you look at it across the pond at some of our contemporaries like France or England, look at what they've been through. And they've been around a lot longer than us. They've been through far more horrible shenanigans and civil wars, and they've earned their stripes, and they've for better or worse have come out not maybe so like roses, but for better or for worse. And so I think it's going to take someone like Judge Mershon, who's going to have to lay down the law at some point. And as soon as he does, as soon as he shows the rest of the judicial system how it's done, not to be intimidated, not to let a certain level of mob rule enter into the judicial system, then that'll start a snowball effect. Other judges will see, other prosecutors will see how it's done. They will know that it doesn't matter if the MAGA minions are out there with their threatening. You put in certain protocols, you put in certain processes, and you clamp down and you mitigate. So Counselor, I'll defer to you on and weigh in on that.
Tracy, we got like a minute before the break. The floor is yours.
I don't think that the judges are having a problem with this. I think there's one, and they happen to live in a country called Florida. And I actually think she's probably more likely somebody who just simply doesn't know how to do the case and doesn't know how to do the job. John and I have talked about that before. But I think that yes. Judge Marchand is running a tight ship, and he always runs a tight ship. So it's just not something extraordinary. It's something normal.
Mm. But I mean, I still think that, it needs to be done where people can see how it's done. And understand that Trump is not above law, and it has to be demonstrated right. to a point that the rest of the public understand that as well. Because right now,
in the weeks and months to come, this has never happened.
Well, it's going to keep happening because that's where we designed the system. And this is a test against the system. If it doesn't work, then it's a system that's worthless.
You're exactly right. And as people learn more and more about the evidence and the facts of this case and the legal reasonings behind it, it's not going to make Trump look better. This is SiriusXM Progress. Dr. Tracy Pearson, how can our listeners, both live and the Daywalkers, keep up with you and all your brilliance?
Well, you can find me everywhere at Tracy Explains. I have a Substack, Dr. Tracy Explains. Today, I was on the Bob Seska show.
It was
fun. I have to say, I felt a little bit like I was cheating, and then I realized that really what it was sharing.
I'm very polyamorous when it comes to my regulars. You got to know.
And tomorrow night I will be on Fox 5 DC around 8:30 Pacific time. And I'll be talking with Jim LaKay about the Trump case.
Ah, very, very nice. I can't wait. Yeah, that Seska, he means well. I mean, and it was you were remote, so it's okay. He's kind of handsy, but you're all right.
I'm good. We didn't even have the video on. And so I don't know what was going on the other side. But I can say that folks who want to get a little bit deeper dive into what I was talking about tonight, you can listen to that. And we talk all about Trump and all about the potential for him to get put incarcerated pending trial, the completion of the trial.
I cannot wait to listen to that tomorrow while I'm walking around Santa Monica. Thank you so much. I can assure you, with the cameras turned off, Bob was being very tall and very handsome. And that's why I hate him. I want to thank you, Dr. Tracy. I want to thank the God Squad, Pastor December Rose, Keith Giles, Dylan Neighbor Cruz. And of course, let's thank Bob Seska, who opens for you every Wednesday, Tracy. And of course, more than anything, let me thank Chris Hauselt and Thea Harper, the most dangerous production squad in broadcasting. I'm John Fugelsang. We will be back right here tomorrow. Simon and Julie join us again. Thank you guys so much for spending part of your evening with us here on Channel 127. Peace.